Good evening to everyone, and I want to share a few points with you tonight before I give an oral transmission. And I'm very happy that JJ gave a Dharma talk tonight, and I would like to encourage this among my students in the future. Is I very much wish to create local lay Dharma teachers. That's very important to me. I think lay people can inspire lay people much, much more during our current times and situations. So if lay people give Dharma talks with lay people, I think they can relate to each other much, much better during these days and times. That's not to say that Sangha is not effective, but Sangha is definitely effective, but Sangha was more effective in ages of the past. Now it's more everybody should inspire everybody with something that's more reachable. Okay, now, so I'm very glad that JJ gave the Dharma talk, and in the future I would like to encourage and ask certain of my students to give Dharma talks that have been with me for a few years and who can absorb and who can relate information. Now, I want to talk about the benefits of doing a retreat together as opposed to doing a retreat on your own. The purpose of a retreat in the Tibetan system is to specifically stay away or isolate yourself from distractions that can disturb your spiritual growth. So some of us can go for a retreat for 1 week, 1 day, 1 month, 1 year, 3 years. It depends on the individual and the situation. But basically, retreat is for us to get close to a thought, close to an idea, close to a teaching, or close to a yidam or a dharma protector. When I say get close to a teaching, this is what it means. Like the great Kyabje Pabongka Dorje Chang, who was not really known as a scholar, was not really known to be erudite, and he was actually labeled as slow in his class when he was studying in Sera in Tibet. But after he finished Sera, he went to Dapo Monastery, and in Dapo Monastery, he stayed 10 years studying only the Lamrim. And what's incredible is that the Lamrim really is the doorway or the key to the 84,000 teachings of Lord Buddha. And the reason I say that is because Dapo Rinpoche would give teachings to Kyabje Pabongka Rinpoche, and Dapo would give to Pabongka teachings. Then Pabongka would go to his cave in the monastery to do retreats quietly, and when he understood the subject, he would come back and he would be tested by his teacher before he was given the next subject to go and meditate. And this went on for 10 years. And when Kyabje Pabongka Rinpoche actually mastered and understood and realized the Lamrim, his whole spectrum, his whole thinking, his way of dealing with other people completely changed. And the reason is because he understood all of Buddha's teachings through Lamrim. He became the Buddha's teachings. There's a difference between knowing the Buddha's teachings and being some sort of a scholar as opposed to living Buddha's teachings and being a practitioner. A scholar does not equate a practitioner. A practitioner doesn't equate a scholar. But a scholar may be a practitioner. So therefore, being a practitioner and getting results is what really counts. Being a scholar and knowing the information is helpful, but it doesn't liberate you from the three lower realms. It doesn't liberate all. Can everybody hear me?
Yes, Rinpoche.
Okay. So therefore, when Kyabje Pabongka realized the Lamrim, he wasn't like a perfect master in the sense of being a scholar understanding or being able to recite the passages perfectly. But he actually lived his life according to the Lamrim. And because of that, he became renowned throughout Tibet as a very accomplished monk and master, a great teacher. And he drew thousands and thousands and thousands of people, royalty and, you know, government officials and ordinary villagers and lay people all came to listen to his teachings. And the incredible thing about Paul Bunker Rinpoche, he never gave a set syllabus of Dharma talks like he received in a monastery. He would pick out any subject out of the sky or out of the blue or for the occasion and give talks upon occasion to the people. So he was known as a lay person's lama, or a person that really fit the lay person, because he never taught from a syllabus, but he always taught for the moment and for the current needs of the people. And that's how he always taught, and he became consequently very popular. I blogged about his life story. It is on my blog, and I would recommend everybody in the room to please go and take a look and read about this great teacher's life and be inspired. He is one of our lineage masters, so it's very important to know who he is, and he'll have more and more significance for us in the future. Now, when he understood the Lamrim, when he went into retreat for 10 years on the Lamrim, when he understood it, he became a great teacher. He became a great teacher because he knew the stuff, but also he was teaching from living it. He wasn't teaching from a book. He wasn't teaching from scholarly point of view, but he was teaching from living Lamrim every single day. So therefore, it was really incredible that he became this great master and this great teacher based on doing retreats in a solitary manner, only receiving teachings from his teacher. It's very, very rare that people can do that today, because the rarity of it, because it's rare, is because not many people understand the Dharma and the value in order to enter retreats. If we know the value of Dharma, the clear indication of it would be that we would definitely be more altruistic. We would be not attached to worldly affairs, and we would not be attached to worldly engagements and worldly jobs. Because no matter how we like to glamorize our worldly roles, in the end, does it really save us from going to the three lower realms? Does it really? If the answer we know is no, then definitely we know that we are not doing intense Dharma practice. And during this time and age, it's very difficult for people in this region to do that, because there's not a history of it. Now, a retreat is very powerful, is because you isolate yourself consciously with a purpose and with a goal, and to focus on a teaching or a yidam or a dharma protector. When you isolate yourself because you're depressed, when you isolate yourself because you're angry, when you isolate yourself because you had an argument with your partner or a friend, and then you don't talk, that's not a retreat. That type of isolation is ego. So when you've had a fallout with a group, maybe even with the Dharma Center, you've had a fallout, you don't like it, you feel bad, and then you don't go, you stay away, and you kind of, say, I'm in a retreat. That's not a retreat. That's not a retreat. A retreat is something that creates more forgiveness, more altruism, more compassion, and more wisdom. A retreat is not meant to increase one's materialism, one's attachments, one's ego, one's selfishness, and one's reason for hiding. So if we had like a fallout and we stay away with a friend or from a center, or we're depressed and we don't want to see people because our expectations was not fulfilled, and we stay away because of those reasons, and we say we're in a retreat and we need to be with ourselves and think, that's not a retreat. That's not a classification of a retreat. That's more of a runaway. It's like escape. Why? Because you can't deal with what happened. In the case of depression, you are not being fulfilled of your expectations of how you think things should be. Hence, you go away. And when you go away, you don't talk to the person, you don't talk to the group, or you don't talk to whatever. You are staying away to express anger, to express that you don't want to be pushed and you don't want to be coerced, you don't want to be inspired, you don't want to do anything. That type of retreat is actually negative, because that retreat increases your samsara, increases your attachment, increases your chances of ending up bitter and alone and not accomplishing anything. So hence, a retreat is it cannot be something that's based on negativity. It cannot be. So therefore, if we say, no, I am tired of my angry mind. I am tired of my ego games. I am tired of my thirsting and grasping need for praise. I am so tired of my need and my grasping for pleasures that I'm going to go into a retreat and I'm going to find myself and I'm going to be able to live without these things for a period of time to make my mind realize that I don't need them to be happy. So that later when I go back into the world, if I have those material things, if I have friends and I have fun, or if I don't have, whether I have or I don't have, it doesn't make any difference anymore because I have realized their true nature. So therefore, in the future, if we are living in a materialistic world, it cannot affect us, and we cannot be controlled by it, therefore never leading to any type of unhappiness or bitterness or anger. So therefore, the whole purpose of a retreat is for ourselves, to 100% cut ourselves away from all the things that normally would make us go deeper into samsara, make us go deeper into our attachments, make us go deeper into our anger and self-pity. So a real retreat can be on a subject. It could be on a Dharma talk. So that means, how does that happen? That means that your retreat is not based on mantra count, or it's not based on so much visualization or tantra or gathering the winds or yoga. Your retreat will be based on, for example, a subject matter. Example, the first subject in the Lamrim. All right? So therefore, if you engage in that kind of retreat, you don't come out of that retreat thinking that I want to be even more intellectually powerful and I want to know more things and I want to be able to teach better and I want to be able to impress people better and I want to show people what a scholar I am and I want to show people how much I know. You never should engage in such a retreat coming out thinking like that. In other words, when you engage in a Lamrim retreat, you have to come out mastering that subject by transformation in your activities. Transformation in the way you deal with others. So therefore, when you engage in a subject retreat, you leave the retreat understanding the subject better, therefore easier to adapt the subject within your own mind. And then when you're able to adapt the subject within your own mind, it becomes a part of you. When it becomes a part of you, you change. You transform. You become different. You become reborn. You become a different person. Therefore, when we do a Lamrim retreat and we read and read and read and we contemplate and we meditate and we think about it, it's very powerful because it makes us look at ourselves very strongly. Okay, that's for a Lamrim retreat. Now, when we're doing a meditational retreat to a deity, a yidam, or a dharma protector. Okay, let's take the case of a yidam. When we do a retreat on a yidam, we are retreating from ordinary things in the past that have disappointed us. Relationships, clubbing, drinking, music, fun, friends, relatives, we are retreating from them. When we retreat from these people, we are not running away or abandoning them. We are retreating from our wrong projection of how these people relate to us. Let me explain. When we feel friends should be like this or like this and like this, and parents should be like that, like that, like that, and they're not, we become depressed. We become depressed not because they are not what we expected. We become depressed is because we want them to be a certain way, and they're not. So when they're not a certain way, and then we react to it, we create unhappiness. And then in that unhappiness, when these people still don't do things our way, we become depressed. We become angry. We become bitter. We become disillusioned. So therefore, when we do a Yidan retreat, we are pulling ourselves away from how we view our relationship with others and what we expect our relationship with others. When we are not able to let go of our expectations of others, we become bitter. We become very bitter. We become very unhappy. And I'll get back to that in a few minutes. So therefore, when we take refuge in a yidam, such as Lama Tsongkhapa, or Vajrayogini, or Tara, when we take refuge in a yidam and we do the practice, we never, ever get disillusioned, angry, bitter. We never, ever become unhappy with them. And the reason is because they are fully enlightened beings. And they will be able to bless us when we engage in their retreats to become better and better and better human beings. Why? Whatever our projected views of a Buddha is, our projected views of a Buddha cannot affect the Buddha. Our projected views of other people can affect other people. So other people can react back to us in ways we don't like. But our projected views towards a Buddha cannot affect the Buddha, so hence, however we act cannot make the Buddha excited or angry or disillusioned or disappointed. So hence, when we take refuge in a Buddha, we never, ever become disappointed. We never, ever become disillusioned. We never, ever become angry, or we never, ever become bitter. Because the Buddha can never, ever make us bitter. Because we're taking refuge in something or someone that is free from samsara, that is out of samsara. That means we're taking refuge in someone that is not like us. Hence, we cannot be disappointed. Similarly, when we do a Yidam's retreat, it's very, very powerful because during a Yidam's retreat, we actually physically and mentally transform. When we transform, our qualities become more and more and more closer and similar to that of our yidam. When our qualities become similar and closer and more like our yidam, that is the purpose of a retreat on the yidam. Okay? So when we do a retreat on a Dharma protector, what happens is we have to make sure that the Dharma protector is an enlightened being. We don't do retreats on Dharma protectors that are not enlightened. We do retreats on Dharma protectors that are enlightened, for example, Setra. And the reason for that is, if we're going to take confidence and trust in this being has to have the quality to take us to a higher level and to grant us our wishes. If this being is not of the highest quality, it's like praying to a spirit or praying to our friend or praying to a rock or praying to a ghost. It's not much help, not much help at all. So therefore, when we do a retreat on a Dharma protector, for example, in this case, Setra, the purpose of doing a retreat to a Dharma protector is this, my friends. We get closer to this Dharma protector and to eliminate our superficial, self-created, and uncontrollable result of our negative karma. So our negative karma could have made us lonely. Our negative karma could have made us have very bad view about our teacher. Our negative karma could have made us have bad view about our friends. Our negative karma could have made us lose a job, maybe lose money, maybe be hurt, maybe we have to be lonely or travel or we're pulled away. Our negative karma can create the causes for us to have a lot and a lot and a lot of negative results. And sometimes the negative results just come down upon us without control, without any break, and it's constant. So therefore, to temporarily put those obstacles at bay, put those obstacles aside, engage in a retreat on the Dharma Protector, we are actually trying to get closer to that Dharma Protector in order to have this being remove the results of our karma for that moment. So therefore, when we do Dharma Protector practice, it isn't really to gain attainments as it is in the Yidam's practice, but it is definitely on the path of getting attainments because the protector is an enlightened being. Hence, when we do our retreat on Setrap, what we want to do is we want to develop a very special relationship with Setrap. We don't want to show up once in a while and do a little bit of prayers. Once in a blue moon, we do some Setkim or black tea. Or when we're in trouble, we pray. And then otherwise, we don't really go to him. You see, that's very demeaning to ourselves. Because Setrap's potential is much more than that. And when we don't realize his potential, we kind of waste it. When we waste it, we demean ourselves because it could be more. It could be much better. So hence, we have to have a very good relationship with Setrap. How do we have that good relationship? A constant, daily, continuous, stable propitiation of Setrap by prayer and by deed. So if you wish to do prayers, et cetera, that's wonderful. But more important is by deed, which is practicing the teachings of the Lamrim and eliminating one's negative causes to create more negative karma that harms yourself and others. When you eliminate the causes for yourself to harm yourself and others, that is the most powerful devotion, the powerful practice that you can give to Setrap. And so hence, when we do Setrap's retreat, we are asking Setrap to increase our life. We are asking Setrap to remove the obstacles that can take our life away suddenly. We are asking Setrap to bless us from magic, spirits, and from curses, and from people that can send curses that can harm us. We are asking Setrap to make our job stable and to make our finances all right. We are asking Setrap that if we're going to have any diseases, please let us find out soon and quick so we can heal them. We are asking Setrap for all these things, not as an end in themselves. We are asking Setrap for those things to help us in order that we may stay on the path of doing the real Dharma practice, which is transforming our mind. I repeat, we are asking Setrap to remove those obstacles that I just mentioned in order that we will have more space to practice the Dharma, and the real Dharma is transforming our mind. So a samsara retreat is staying away from people we don't like, staying away from center, staying away from our guru, staying away from Dharma work, staying away from responsibility, staying away from helping, staying away from learning, staying away from all those things are negative retreats. Why? Use your logic. Use your brain and think. Because staying away from those things that can help us doesn't help us. I repeat, staying away from things that can help us does not help us. So therefore, those type of retreats are not real retreats at all. Retreats that are real are retreats that help you to generate more altruism, more understanding, more wider view, more acceptance, more generosity, and generally to give you more peace. People who do Dharma practice well find Dharma work, Dharma involvement, and Dharma, not a burden, not a work, effortless. People who do not do Dharma practice well because they choose not to, they find Dharma a burden. They find Dharma difficult, and they choose to stay away or they choose to avoid. Why? Because they themselves do not want to face themselves. So when we don't face ourselves, when we don't look at ourselves, how can the result ever be positive? I mean, whether it's hypnotherapy, whether it's psychology, whether it's Buddhism, when we don't look at ourselves and face what we are and our fears and who we really are, when we don't face those, how do we become happy? you know, anything in life. And it's very logical. So therefore, a retreat, that is a short explanation that I have given all of you of what a retreat is. A samsaric retreat, okay, that one I explained first. A retreat based on a subject, such as Lam Rim. A retreat based on the Yidam, or a retreat based on our Dharma protector. I gave you all a clear distinction, and I gave you all a very quick, short rundown so you guys can understand the distinction. So right here tonight, what we're doing on this very auspicious day, which is His Holiness Dalai Lama's birthday, the retreat is to ask Setra to remove our fears and our obstacles and our difficulties and our accumulated karmas that open up as obstacles. We're asking Setra to do that. And how do we do that? How can Setra do that? Because when we do his prayers and mantras and we engage in his retreat and we do his meditations, the merit accrued from that is offered up to Setra, and he's able to do that. Okay? Now, when we do... Now, let me explain this. When we do retreats together, it's more beneficial for new people and for lay people. I repeat, when we do retreats, it's better for lay people and new people to do retreats together as opposed to alone. Let me explain why, and I want everybody to remember this because it's very practical. When we do retreats together, we are in a community. We have to be extra polite with everyone. We need to be more aware. We need to help set up. We need to help clean up. We need to cooperate. We need to go along with the timing. You know, we need to do all of that, which helps us to interact with other people. And in a process, when we're in a Dharma center and we are involved, we get to know other people's problems. We get to know their fears. We understand where they're coming from. We understand what they're thinking. We understand their psychology, and we understand their karma. When we individualize them, you know what happens? Then we start to not like people. We start to become disappointed with people. We start to point fingers, and we start to look down on them, and we start to be disgusted with them, and in the end, we become antisocial. We become people that avoid other people. We become antisocial, and we start looking down on them. Let me tell you why. Because when we get to know people better, we are individualizing their problems to them. We are saying, this individual has this problem, and it's with this person, and I don't like it. And I don't like their problem. They create it, they make it, and they make all these problems for themselves. I don't like it. And I think this person is pretty disgusting. I think this person is selfish. I think this person is not honest. I think this person is not direct. I think this person is not sincere. And then we start individualizing the person. And so when we start individualizing the person, as time goes on, we start to like people less and less and less and less. Why? Because we will find fault with every single person because we individualize the problems to that person. That means that problem is that person. It's not a problem full stop. It's that person. So that makes us bitter. That makes us bitchy. That makes us angry. That makes us impatient. Why? Because we don't associate the problem with general samsara existence. We individualize that problem with that person. Let me explain simply. When we look at the person's selfishness and we look at the person's, you know, lack of intelligence or slowness or whatever we don't like the person for, whatever we don't like the reason we don't like the person, when we don't individualize it and we look at it as a problem that exists in samsara, that it's a problem that exists in the six realms of samsara, that it's a problem that's identified with all living sentient, conscious beings, then our bitterness, our unhappiness, and our disgust goes away. Our bitterness and our disgust and our unhappiness goes away from the person, and the focus goes toward all of samsara. Does everybody understand that? If you understand that, raise your hand. Are your hands raised?
Yes, yes, Rinpoche.
Okay. Now, when we always focus on the person and the problem, then we individualize it. When we individualize the problem, we start to not like people. We don't like one person, then another person, then another person, then another person. Pretty much we isolate ourselves into a small little corner, and we've isolated everybody else into another corner. Does everybody understand that? And that's how people become bitter. People become bitter and angry and antisocial, not because the whole world is selfish and disappointing and ugly and mean. Yes, the whole world is like that, and that's why it's called samsara. So as a Buddhist practitioner, as a real practitioner, we have to stop individualizing the problems of each person. Great masters or great practitioners or great meditators or great Dharma or great Buddhist people, great Dharma people, great Buddhist people, don't think they're living in a surreal, fake world, that they're floating on lotuses and they don't see selfishness, they don't see stupid people, they don't see sneaky people, they don't see people who create problems. They see those people clearer and better than us. But you see, the difference is that they keep helping these people. They keep assisting these people. And they tirelessly go and assist and help and do benefit to these people. Do you know why? Because they don't individualize the problem with a person. Does everybody understand? They don't individualize the problem with the person. They don't see that problem as with a person. They see that problem as with a existence, and that's samsara. I'll give you a very simple example. Let's say that we want to have a party, okay? And we decide to have a party during the monsoon season on an island. And every single day, it's going to rain 7 to 8 to 10 to 12 hours a day on that island, all right? And when we get to this island, and it rains, and it ruins our party, and it ruins our expenses, and everybody's flown in, we get angry at the organizer, we get angry at our assistants, we get angry at our people, because we're saying, it's your fault, it's raining. But you see, it's not their fault it's raining. It's a fault of the island. It's a fault of the season. It's a fault of the place. It's not like the rain fell just on your head. It's not like the rain fell just on your party and everywhere else on the island is sunshine. The whole island is being drenched in rain. The whole island is being covered in monsoon rain. Not just your party, everyone. So if you were to get angry at the organizers, it would be quite silly and you would look ridiculous and you'll make more enemies. All right? Why? Because the whole place is being soaked. So if you're going to blame one person for being selfish, if you're going to blame another person for being stingy, if you're going to point fingers at another individual for being lazy or not doing their job or pulling their weight, if you're going to keep doing that, you're going to isolate yourself. And you say, well, what's wrong with isolating myself? Well, when you isolate yourself, you can't develop any sort of spiritual attainments. And the whole purpose of praying to a Buddha, having a guru, and doing protective practices is to develop spiritual qualities. So we need to, as individuals, to stop right now individualizing people and their problems, meaning saying that this problem is inherent or this problem is indigenous of this person. This problem is not indigenous and inherent of this person. This problem is indigenous and inherent of all samsara. It's in every single one of us, only we manifest it differently. One person can show more anger, one person can show more jealousy, another one can be more lazy, another one can be more sneaky. Look, the bottom line is this, if all difficulties, none of us would be here at all. We'd all be, you know, having tea with Tsongkhapa every single day, breakfast with Vajubini, and you know what? Maybe Din Din with Manjushri. But we're not. We're having breakfast, Din Din, and lunch with all these selfish, all these self-grasping, all these lazy and sneaky people, including ourselves. So if we want to keep pointing fingers at people and individualizing their problems, we will never leave samsara. We will never become enlightened. We will never become higher in our attainments. Because the reason we associate with people, the reason we go to the center, the reason we do volunteer work, the reason we hang around with other people is not to find fault and then become disgusted and run away from them. The reason we get closer to them is to say, well, this is a problem with all of samsara, and we all need to leave this place, all right? Not I leave and everybody stay behind. Not me and my friends leave and everybody else, who cares? But all of us need to leave this place. So therefore, when we do Dharma work and we volunteer and we get involved and we commit, the benefit is to help us develop more altruism towards everybody who is in the same pitiful situation. Does everybody understand that? If you understand, please raise your hands.
There is
very high. Even if you didn't shave your armpits, raise your hands. Nicholas, is their hands raised?
Yes, Rinpoche.
Good. Is your hand raised?
Oh, yes, Rinpoche.
No, it isn't. You're raising it now. Okay. So therefore, how to avoid being bitter, how to avoid being angry, how to avoid being disgusted with people, how to have compassion for people that really, really get on your nerves, how, is by not individualizing their problems. Does everybody understand? By not saying that it's just this person's problems. It is everybody's problems and samsara. So therefore, when we do Dharma work, when we volunteer, when we commit, when we go to the center, when we get to know people better, the whole purpose of that is to say, look, I am not alone. I'm not the only selfish person. I'm not the only loser. I'm not the only person that's failed. I'm not the only person that's made mistakes. I'm not the only person that's done wrong. I'm not the only sinner. All of us, at one time or another, have made many mistakes. And you feel solidarity. What kind of solidarity? A solidarity of being in samsara and staying there? No. It is a solidarity of, I'm not alone, and I like to be compassionate with other people, and I would like to not give up on other people because I don't individualize their problems. And at the same time, I would like people to not individualize my problem to me, and I would like other people not to give up on me. I would like people to like me. I would like people to accept me. I would like people not to judge me. I would like people not to be critical of me. I would like people not to disparage, hate, and avoid me, because I don't want to do that to other people, because the problem I have is the problem they have, and it's a problem all of us have. So therefore, this problem is not an individual problem. This is a problem that's inherent in all of samsara. I repeat, this is not an individual problem. It is a problem of samsara. Hence, don't get bitter and avoid people. Don't become antisocial and hate people. Don't try to judge and be critical of people. When you don't judge and you're not critical, it doesn't mean you don't see their faults. It doesn't mean you don't avoid people that's going to cheat you. It means you bear no animosity towards others. And it gives you the courage to not give up on anyone who has disappointed you. It gives you the courage to not close the door on anyone that's lied to you, cheated, hurt you, disappointed you, or simply was not real with you. That's how you don't become bitter. So when you become bitter and you shut out the world, you think you're in some kind of retreat. Actually, you're not. You have locked yourself away in your personal hell, your personal unhappiness, hell on earth. So my message is that when we do retreats together, when we do our practices together, when we have a community together, it's much more powerful to understand and not to individualize other people and their actions, not to individualize. And that's a benefit. The second benefit is when we know other people better, when we understand their problems better, when we do retreats, instead of thinking, my problem, my problem, my problem, we're thinking, my problem and their problem. So you like to solve their problem, and you like to solve your problem. And you start praying to set up and doing retreats to set up to solve everyone's problem. When you start solving everyone's problem, not just your own, you're becoming more altruistic. You're becoming more caring. When you become more caring and altruistic, that's when you collect a lot of merit. When you collect a lot of merit, it replaces the demerit and it purifies the demerit. And hence, your obstacles will become nullified or avoided. Or your obstacles become less and become gone. Let me repeat that, a very, very important point. And everybody listen to this last point. When we do retreats together, and we know each other better, and we don't individualize, and we realize it's a problem that's inherent everywhere in samsara. When we pray to Setra, we kind of think about the other person that has this problem. We kind of are concerned about them, and we kind of start praying for them. When we start praying for others, and our concern starts to shift for others, together with our own, this altruistic mind has arisen. When this altruistic mind has arisen, then your retreat is successful. Why? The very purpose of your retreat is to purify your obstacles, correct? How do you purify your obstacles? By being selfish and praying to Setra? No. How do you purify your obstacles is by developing a mind that is concerned about others, that wishes to eliminate other people's problems and doing something about it. For example, the retreat. When we think like that and act upon it and do something about it, that thinking, motivation, and action purifies the negative karma. When that negative karma is purified, the obstacle we're trying to avoid or experiencing goes away or lessens. Why? Because the karma behind the obstacle is purified. How did that obstacle become purified? It became purified by all of us thinking less of ourselves and thinking more of others. How did those obstacles arise in the first place? Those obstacles arose in the first place from us thinking about ourselves, from selfishness. Hence, if problems arise from selfishness, then the lack of problems or the purification of problems must arise from selflessness. I repeat, if our problems arose from selfishness, then happiness or the purification of those problems, the elimination of those problems, must come from the opposite cause. The opposite cause of selfishness is to altruism, is to think about others more, or selflessness. Does everybody understand?
Yes, Rinpoche.
Good. So therefore, when we do retreats, it has these twofold benefits. It has these wonderful twofold benefits. One is to not individualize our problems. The second is to purify our problems by doing Setup's practice. So therefore, how does Setup stop us from having problems? Because he gives us the vehicle in order to let us be less selfish. How does Setra purify our obstacles? He gives us the vehicle for us to lessen our selfishness. When the selfishness is lessened, then the result of selfishness cannot manifest or becomes less and it goes away. Does everybody understand that?
Yes, Rinpoche.
Good. That's my explanation for you tonight, and now I'm going to offer all of you an oral transmission. Please think that your Lama is sitting in front of you, taking on the form of Lama Tsongkhapa. Think that in Lama Tsongkhapa's heart is a lotus, and on that is a syllable letter D. Alright? Think that when Lama Tsongkhapa recites the mantra to you, it enters your body, and it becomes one with your body, and after that, you have the power to recite Setrap's holy mantra. Okay? And I received this mantra from the great master and yogi and scholar, Jisun Jampa Yeshe, or Khenpo Rinpoche, in Ganden. I received this. All right? So, please think you're receiving a very holy mantra to engage in your retreat. And repeat after me. Om Maha Yakcha Ta Soha. Om Maha Yakcha Ta Soha. Om Maha Yakcha Ta Soha. Think that you have received the oral transmission and do a dedication quickly. Chuji Jabo. Good. And let's do a dedication to His Holiness's long life and all the great masters around the world to have a long life. Gong Li Dei Wei. Remember, do not individualize the person and their problem and start alienating them away from you. And then when you alienate them away from you, you become antisocial, you become the opposite of Dharma practice, you become the opposite of what your guru teaches you. So don't individualize the problem, but see the problem as the nature and the actions and the atmosphere of samsara. That's all samsara. That's all of us. Maybe in this life, some of us are more angry, and but we're able to get things faster done. Maybe some of us are more lazy, and we don't get things done. But you have to realize, every single life, one of these delusions will come out strong in us. So maybe in this life, some of us are angry, some of us are lazy. But in next life, maybe we'll be lazy, and someone else will be angry, or vice versa. So therefore, do not individualize the problem, and then alienate people, and alienate yourself from them. The practice of Buddhism and the practice of compassion or the practice of enlightenment is not self-alienation or alienation of others. It is, in fact, embracing. So great people, great practitioners, and great masters, one sign that you can see they have accomplished this, what I've explained to you, is that they never, ever give up on anyone, even those that have disappointed them hundreds of times. They feel the disappointment. They feel the sadness. And they feel very, very unhappy for them. But they never give up. And the reason is because they don't individualize the person. They see it as a problem as a whole. The second thing is, the only way we can purify our obstacles and difficulties is by helping, by doing the opposite. For example, are you having financial problems? For example, are you having difficulty in work? Well, the solution to that is to make offerings in the center, to make offerings of lamps, on the mandala, continuously. And if you don't have money to offer, then you offer your service. When you have generosity and service, you collect the merits for you to have more success in your business or whatever you're trying to pursue. There are many cases of people that have come to our center that have not had jobs or they're out in the cold, and by practicing setup and practicing what I explained, they receive good jobs. They're able to get finances. They're able to move on. Even our center, we're able to grow and expand due to this. Same thing. All right? Don't individualize the problem, and do not think that it's the person, and be kind and forgiving, and get involved, do the work, come to the teaching, volunteer, and help, because that's the best thing you can do for yourself and anyone else. All right? I offer all of you good luck, And I offer all of you my prayers and my good wishes. And it's been very pleasurable to explain a little bit of Dharma to all of you. And I'm very, very happy that JJ also shared Dharma with all of you. And I'm glad all of you are there to receive and to share Dharma with each other. I wish you a very good retreat. And remember, the best retreatant is one that develops more altruism and thinks about everyone else's problems and prays the central to solve, because that is the real key to purifying negative karma that creates the obstacles. All right?
大家好，今天是星期一，大家好，今天是星期一，大家好，今天是星期一，大家好，今天是星期一，大家好，今天是星期一，大家好，今天是星期一，大家好，今天是星期一，大家好，今天是星期一，大家好，今天是星期一，大家好，今天是星期一，大家好，今天是星期一，大家好，今天是星期一，大家好，今天是星期一，大家好，今天是星期一，大家好，今天是星期一，大家好，今天是星期一，大家好，今天是星期一，大家好，今天是星期一，大家好，今天是星期一，大家好，今天是星期一，大家好，今天是星期一，大家好，今天是星期一，大家好，今天是星期一，大家好，今天是星期一，大家好，今天是星期一，大家好，今天是星期一，大家好，今天是星期一，大家好，今天是星期一，大家好，今天是星期一，大家好，今天是星期一，大家好，今天是星期一，大家好，今天是星期一，大家好，今天是星期一，大家好，今天是星期一，大家好，
Very good. Have a good retreat and good night, everybody.
Thank you, Rinpoche.
Good night.